Hello and welcome to PBS Western Reserve City-Centric Podcast Series. Hi everyone, my name is Jeff Good, and this podcast series serves as a companion to our city-centric TV series. If you have an opportunity to see that, we've taken a closer look at the community members that are centric or central to the pulse of each featured city. Community members like the entrepreneur, the entertainer, the revitalizer, folks like the politician, the humanitarian, and even the future are featured in each of the city-centric episodes that will continue to appear and in our rebroadcast throughout the fall and the winter on PBS Western Reserve. The City-Centric Podcast Series, which you're listening to right now, takes a deeper dive with each of our featured city-centric community members, looking even further in what makes them city-centric and really what makes their city centric to them. And I'm once again so excited about our guest today, which is Youngstown business owner and entrepreneur Aspasia Liris-Bernacki. Aspasia is the co-owner of Penguin City Brewing Company. She is the founder of Penguin City, the content creator, the manager, works in sales and distribution and tap room. Penguin City Brewing Company was created in 2017 with her husband and head brewer, Richard Bernacki. In 2017, they released Penguin City Beer, their flagship. And then in August 2018, it quickly learned the ins and outs of distribution. Penguin City Beer was the fastest growing local beer in their area, getting the product in over 300 accounts in their first year. Aspasia and her team bought a vacant 32,000 square foot warehouse on the city's east side in 2020, and they spent about 2.5 years renovating it into a brewery, tap room, and event center. She received the Youngstown Warren Regional Chambers Entrepreneur of the Year Award in 2022 with her husband and the Mahoning Valley Historical Society's Commercial Revitalization Award for renovating the brewery. Her love for her community and the Ohio beer culture certainly drives the company to keep growing and expanding into new markets. Aspasia, thank you so much for your time today and our conversation on the City Centric Podcast Series.
No problem. I am very happy to be here.
So what's great about it is I've done these podcasts before the show has premiered, and now that the show has been on the air, a lot of our folks, a lot of our viewers, and hopefully some of our listeners has had a chance to meet you by watching the show. And it was like a good 4 to 5 minute introduction. And then I tried to do an admirable job on your bio, but I'm sure I missed something. So is there something that I may have missed or folks may want to know a little bit more about you? Our listeners might want to know a little bit more about you than I may have missed.
I definitely, I've always been a Youngstowner. I'm from Camel. Like, that's where it's pretty much like the east side of Youngstown. It actually used to be called Youngstown, like East Youngstown. So I grew up there my whole life. I'm pretty much just always just doing everything. Like, I'm just always been kind of around Youngstown. Like, just always. Like, throughout my life, just growing up, just always like gravitating toward anything that's just happening there. And I think that's how I just, you know, my love for Youngstown just happened, just from going to school there, from being there, from the seeing the ebbs and flows of the city, just kind of fell in love with all of that.
So Aspasia, I do this with every guest, and this is this icebreaker game that I know you're cringing having to do. So I need two truths and a lie about you, and I'm going to try to guess the lie.
Okay. So here's three statements. I owned and operated a vintage clothing store. I studied abroad for a year after I graduated from high school. And I was a keyboardist in a local band in my late 20s.
You know, I've been horrible at this lately. I started out really strong, and now it's just not. I'm going to base it on your last comment about your love for Youngstown, and I'm going to say you did not study abroad for a year after you graduated.
Oh, my God, that was it.
I could sense it. We've had folks in the studio, and when you do it over the phone, it's really, I could really guess people from which direction they look up and down when they're explaining this. But you explained it so well about your love for Youngstown. I thought that had to be it. So you were a keyboardist in a local band.
Yeah, I played piano when I was growing up. I took piano lessons. It was either piano or dance. Well, actually, I did both, but like I really liked piano, so I played piano. And you know, I worked in a bar at Cedars. It was a bar downtown, and it was a place where a lot of musicians, artists, poets, writers, like kind of all congregated. So you know, you kind of meet a lot of people, a lot of musicians, and I just kind of played around in a few bands, a few projects, and it was a lot of fun. I think being in a band or performing or getting up on stage is, I think it's a really good thing to do, because it it's just seeing that from a different, you know, being up on stage. You know, if you're nervous, it kind of breaks. You kind of learn to take that habit of, you know, being up and in front of public and speaking and performing. So I'm really glad I did it.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about what's happening now. So we're going to talk about the origin of Penguin okay. City Brewing. And for the folks that watch the show, they kind of have an idea, but really, truly, and obviously your love for Youngstown has shown just in these first two or three questions, but what really got you thinking about a Youngstown-based brewery? And then what was kind of your path to pursue that interest?
I mean, honestly, I think what was like in my life, and at the time, like I was I just turned 40. Actually had a little theater downtown. It was called Youngstown Cinema. It was just a little pop-up theater. Just like I did indie films and worked for my father's bridge painting company. I kind of bounced between those two things. And then I hosted the Youngstown Summer Movie Series. So I was like kind of bouncing a couple things. And my husband worked as an IT for Purple Cat, Golden String. It's a program for adults with disabilities that's also based in Youngstown. And I guess we both were kind of just wanted a change in our life. And honestly, like, it was a conversation. Like, I've always been in the bar scene kind of throughout my whole life, like, just with working in bars, whether it's performing, bartending, promoting, whatever. And my husband's a beer enthusiast. So it was just, I noticed I was, you know, seeing this whole beer craze happening in Ohio, just every city, like we would go to Cleveland or we would visit Pittsburgh and every time we would go like just to Pittsburgh, our friends would be like giving us an Iron City. And it's just like, this is what you drink, you know, this is our city's beer. And like, so proud of that. And that was just it. Like, we were sitting down and I was like, you know, that's really cool. Like, you know, just you go to these cities and there's this beer, there's this beer that defines that city, and they're so proud. And then you see what these breweries do in these areas. They go in areas that need revitalizing or go in an area that's not that great and then put a brewery, and then all of a sudden that street becomes alive and all of a sudden things happen. So we were just saying, okay, so say we had a beer here, what would it be? Like, what would we do? What would we call it? Like, how? And we just had a conversation, and what will we name it? And we came up with the name Penguin City. And I don't know it. I mean, honest to God, it was like a weird kind of flash. Like, whoa, did we just create, did we just come up with this amazing name? Like, did we just do it in this conversation? And I mean, I always have conversations and ideas. It's, I don't know, I'm an idea person. I'm always like, I think that we could do that. That someone should do that. Why doesn't anyone do that? But there's this passing thought. And when that one hit, it just rattled me. And I was thinking, okay, I think we need to do something with it. And then I remember I got up the next day and I was just like, I really think, like, it was just always in the back of my head, like, I think we should do something with this. And then I called my cousin who teaches marketing at YSU, and I had a meeting with him, and I said, hey, like, if I'm crazy and you think this is, you know, dumb, like, just tell me and I won't think about it anymore. And we stacked out. We were at Sweet Melissa's, this place where they make really good salads. And I said the name. And he had a look. And he looked at me. And he wrote the name down. And he was like, I think you're on to something. And I want to be in on it. He's like, just give me a second. And then he just like did a deep dive. He, you know, we were checking things out. Like, is this name, like we, you know, researched the name and making sure no one else had it. So like, this name's so fun. Like, someone has to have this name somewhere in the world. We found out no. So the first thing we did was trademark the name and everything. The name, the slogan, everything we talked about, we immediately trademarked the name. And then my cousin and myself started working on the branding, and my husband started learning how to make beer. I mean, like, we totally did a complete career thing. Like, he learned how to make beer. Like, he didn't know how to make beer, which is kind of, I guess I love our story so much because at 40 years old, we both changed our life and we both learned things that we didn't really know. And it just shows you that if you have that passion and drive, you definitely can do it. Because my husband didn't know he was going to know how to do this. And somehow that passion just drove him, and he really learned. He learned from some really great brewers that taught him. He had some good mentors, and just on his own, like, just really got into it. So, and even myself. So, like, for that year, he learned how to brew and really refine and work on recipes. And Michael and I just really worked on what is Youngstown's beer. And just really picked it apart. Like, how could we reach people? And how could this better the community? How could this create jobs? What kind of company do we want this to be so we can get big and, you know, also be a part of revitalizing Youngstown? So it was a loaded act. But because we wanted to hit all those things when we were doing it. And that was our year. And then, in August of 2018, we released it, and it just took off. Like, it was, I kind of describe it as getting on a train. Like, that day that we released the beer, I felt like I got on a train, and then this train just took off. Kind of like when you're at Disney and you're on the monorail and like you're sitting and all of a sudden it just goes and you feel that push. That's how I felt, and I still feel like I'm moving that fast.
Well, for our folks listening in, you're listening to the Penguin City City-Centric podcast series, but you're listening to the PBS Western Reserve City-Centric podcast series, and this series kind of connects with our television series, but it's just not about the city, but more about people like Aspasia that are central or centric to the particular city. TV series that focuses on folks like the revitalizer, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, politician, humanitarian, and we even take a peek at the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. City-Centric podcast series, which you're listening to right now, takes a deeper dive, as we are right now, with each of our featured city-centric community members, looking even further into what makes them city-centric, and more importantly, what makes their city centric to them. So be sure to catch all of the City Centric Season 1, appearing exclusively throughout the fall and winter on PBS Western Reserve. And once again, we're so pleased to be talking with Aspasia Liris-Bernacki, Youngstown's business owner and entrepreneur. And I tell you, I have been to your facility, and I love the building that you're in. So could you take a moment? You spent some time talking about the origin of the Penguin City beer, but tell us a little bit of the history of the building that you're in now, and why was it so important for you to locate your business there?
Well, we definitely wanted to be in the heart of the city of Youngstown. I mean, that was just so important to us. That's the heartbeat of our area, and we needed to be right there. That building was sitting vacant for a very long time. I thought it was actually taken, but like someone made an announcement like back in 2018 that they were interested in buying it. It was on the news and everything. So I kind of thought it just wasn't there available. And then during COVID, my friend Lisa, who's a realtor, she was like, no, I think that's available. She's like, do you want to go look at it? And I said, yeah, well, let me take a walk. And I remember when all of us just opened that warehouse, because you honestly, the way you see it outside, it looks way like it's so much bigger inside. I think it's because it sits on that bridge. You don't realize just how big and long it is. And when we opened the door and I just saw just how amazing that space was, I mean, it was like when you try, how they say your first wedding dress is the one. It was like as soon as I opened that door, that was like my wedding dress. I knew that was the one. Like, I didn't want to look anywhere else. And I just said, like, I don't know how we're going to do this, but this building has to happen.
And it did.
My family, who are, you know, so there's five owners, and the rest of my family, they invested in this, and I am forever grateful for them for taking a chance on Youngstown. They do a lot of their work in New York. My family's bridge painting contractors, so they do a lot of work outside of our area. So for them to make this investment here, like I said, I am forever grateful for that, for taking a chance and believing in Youngstown. Building was, if you want to know the history of the building.
I'd love to know the history. I always stare up in the ceiling and think about all the stories that building probably holds.
So the building was, now I'm a history buff, so as soon as I got this building, I'm also a Rotarian, so I messaged my friend Bill, my fellow Rotarian who works at Mahoning Valley Historical Society, and I said, give me everything you can on this building. So we found out that the building was owned by William Pollock, he was a big manufacturer of materials used for the steel mill. So he had a warehouse next to our building. And then in 1921, he took over a part of that building, the first half. So if you come to our building, there's like a level that's down about 10,000 square feet where it's like lower, and then there's a step up. And then the rest of it is, that's what he bought in 1921 and built a warehouse. And that warehouse was used to build and store materials for the mill. So basically there's train tracks that run along the back of our building. So they would, you know, make these parts or have them stored. They'd be kind of in a holding facility. And then the train would come and take the parts and take them down the river to the steel mill. And then in 1957, he took over pretty much the whole property and then built that second warehouse. And that was just another facility, same thing. And that's how that whole building came into play. Now, before that, the whole block was nothing but businesses. I've seen photos of buildings, so a ton of buildings, and they were saloons, hotels, restaurants, repair shops, candy stores. I mean, there is a lot of history on that property. It goes back to, I would say, mid-1800s.
Okay.
Started out as a lumber yard. So yeah, I could go. Yeah, I tell you, I deep dived into that property.
That's awesome.
So there's definitely a lot of history on that building. Like I said, when we were excavating, they found beer bottles from pre-Prohibition era, from Renner, which was a Youngstown brewery, Smith, Harancourt from Cincinnati, Consumer from Erie, PA. We even found out that Slith had an actual tap room on our property.
Interesting.
Pre-Prohibition. Because I guess history is kind of repeating itself. During pre-Prohibition, there were breweries all over Ohio, all over the Rust Belt region. Because, you know, the mill workers needed a place to, you know, hang out after.
Exactly.
So they had, and beer was more central. Like, you drank the beer that your town had. They didn't have these big distributors. So we had quite a lot of breweries here in Youngstown pre-Prohibition. And then, you know, obviously bigger beer companies came and kind of wiped out everybody. So now it's starting
all over
again.
Yes. Well, it's interesting now because you definitely looked into the history of where you are now. And now I'm going to have you look at your crystal ball. And I want you to think about, in that crystal ball right now, it's revealing the future of Youngstown. So what do you see as Youngstown's future?
I mean, I definitely see it. I see more people like me, like, you know, Derek, who's also a part of your show, who is also part of the City Centric. Actually, all the people that were in City Centric, I am very good friends with. It's people like us that truly go in there and know the challenges, and we get in there and we stay. Like, that's the thing. Like, you have to stay. You have to stay, and you have to get up, and you have to keep going, and you have to keep working on it. And I'm seeing a lot of people staying. And I think that is what's going to be the success of our area. Because I've seen a lot of people come in, businesses, organizations, they come in, it gets frustrating, and then they leave. But now I'm seeing like a really solid crew of people that really are putting that time and energy and effort into it. And I'm very excited to be a part of that, because the more people we get in there, the more businesses, the more success. So I do see it going up. Like, I really do. And that's why we invested, you know, the money and our time and everything into that building.
So I asked this question of everyone so far. What qualities, characteristics, personalities, or a combination of all of those makes you Youngstown City Centric?
To me, I'm going to say you have to have a positive attitude, and you really can't let the negative affect you in any way. It's so easy to have a bad day and dwell on it. It's so easy to hear the word no, it can't be done, and you just accept it. You have to just push through that and just keep that positive attitude. I've always had a positive attitude. My husband actually sometimes gets mad at me. He's like, oh my God, you're so positive. Like, we could have the absolute worst day. And I'm telling you, like, the worst day where we're crying and everything's bad. And somehow I will say, you know what? Not that bad. And he'll always be like, oh my God. How do you take something that's so bad and somehow spin it? It's just who I am. And I think that is a quality that you definitely need to have, especially in this town, or, you know, and to be city centric, especially in Youngstown, is that positive, not taking no for an answer and never giving up.
I think, you know, and if we're in a room together, I would hope that you wouldn't hit me when I make this next statement, but I feel that your beer schooner is always half full. How's that? Because you're the eternal optimist. How about that?
Yeah.
Aspasia, thank you so much for taking your time today and being part of our City Centric podcast series.
Oh, thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Well, for our listeners out there, you've been listening to PBS Western Reserve's City Centric podcast series. Once again, I'm Jeff Good, and PBS Western Reserve's City Centric television series is not just about the city, but more about the people, folks like Aspasia, that are central or centric to that particular city. This time, we are talking about Youngstown. The TV series, it's been premiering exclusively throughout the fall and winter on PBS Western Reserve, really focuses on all different types of folks. The revitalizers, the entertainers, the entrepreneurs, the politicians, humanitarians, and taking a peek into the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. The City Centric podcast series, What You've Been Listening To, takes a deeper dive with each of our city-centric featured community members, where we look even further into what makes them city-centric and really what makes their city-centric to them. So you ask yourself, what makes a community member city-centric? Well, you know, I'm going to tell you. Join us next time as we continue the conversation with those featured community members on PBS Western Reserve's City-Centric series. And make sure you check out the TV series that will be appearing throughout the fall and winter exclusively on PBS Western Reserve.